you ready?
I'm Van.
I'm Sori.
That's Lavi.
Salty and Chip.
Pantera, yeah. Hollow. We haven't done Pantera in quite some time.
I know, and I always... Is there any Pantera song I didn't like? I'm pretty sure I liked them all so far.
Yeah, I don't think there was a Pantera song that you haven't liked, so... this should be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interestante.
Okay. Have you heard this one?
No. I never really listened to Pantera.
Oh, you saw the intro, guys. That was Bricktown Media
Shout
made
to
that.
Bricktown
yeah.
Media.
Yeah, freaking he's going to actually do the beginnings of all of our, I was going to say all of our channels. We have one channel, but all of our shows, he's like doing that moving picture and putting that all together for us. And I think he did a badass job. I really like it.
Bricktown's a badass.
He said he's going to even make us an end card that's cool.
Really?
Because I did the end card, and every time I look at him, I'm like, that's not very metal.
I like your end card.
So you let it be, the little swirls with it.
Your end card is badass.
Aww.
I'm not shun the non-believer. But if he wants to do an end card, we're not mad at him. So shout out to Bricktown Media, yeah. My guy.
If you want something like that done for your channel or for whatever, something like about that ranges between $20 and $40. So reach out to him if you're interested. Can they just find him by looking up Bricktown Media?
Yeah, I mean
on Facebook?
Yeah, if you want to correspond with him, we've got contacts with the big homies, so
yeah.
We got connections. Huh? Connections.
And he's really good about, like, if you don't like something, you want something a little bit altered. Like, he makes it to your liking, so.
Yep. But as you can tell, he's a bad motherfucker. All right, let's go. Yeah. Pantera, Hollow, let's do it.
Wait till you see the underground one. Like, he did that one. Like, we were just like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. Okay, ready?
Go!
Nope. I'll say when. Do you think I have control issues? Go.
Yeah.
Was drugs?
I don't know. I mean, the guy must have been in a coma or something.
Ugh.
He's got to be in a coma.
It was sad.
Yeah. He's got to be in a coma. Because he's not totally dead.
Yeah.
I saw this terrible video. And I'm not sure that it was the right thing to do. But this, I guess, this girl, she OD'd on heroin, but she didn't die. But she was pretty much in a vegetative state being fed through tubes or whatever. Yeah. And then this mother had posted, you know, basically she's like, you want to do heroin? You want to do heroin? And she's like, you end up seeing this. And then her daughter's eyes are open, but nothing's home. And then, like, this machine is breathing for her. And then she's like, and you also get to sign these. And then it's the papers of, like, do not resuscitate and all this shit, you know, like,
I don't think as a mom I could make that decision, but I think that for, like, the greater good for humanity, that it may help people.
Yeah, it was horrifying and sad. And then, of course, you know, being a parent, you think about your own kids.
Of course. Oh, gosh. When he said, basically, like, they were just talking, like, a month ago, can you scroll? I can't see to find out.
What did he say now?
He said something like that a month ago that they were talking.
You talked for hours last month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so like sad like to think like that you know you could have your best friend that you talk to, all of a sudden like they're gone and you're just holding their hand like that. Oh my word.
It's very strange, like the concept of. You know, there's this line in Where I'm From, and I think Jay-Z says, you can't put your vest away because the day after everybody be saying that I just was with him yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is a very intelligent way to put it.
Yeah.
But the concept, and of course I've had those experiences, like I just talked to him or I just said, you know, whatever, and then now they're gone.
Yeah.
It's a very, you know, when you're a baby, like, or, you know, going into a toddler, like, one of the things that they use to track the growth and the awareness of the child is this concept of object permanence. So, like, peekaboo.
Yeah.
It's really a game of object permanence because the child is basically figuring out that even though you can't see something, it's still there.
Really? Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
So object permanence is like a major stepping stone in the conscious development of a child. And so, what happens is that, you know, death kind of works in reverse because nothing is permanent. No object is permanent, including your friends. So like in the peekaboo thing, like you don't see them anymore, but they're still there.
Yeah.
But then when you grow up and life happens is that you just see them. And then they're gone, and you're never going to see them again in this life. And it's a hard thing for people to, like, grapple with because all we know is object permanence.
Mm.
So it's a crazy thing when you have to apprehend that. I mean, I remember that happening to, well, in this case, a kid died. But the, I just can't think of a worse thing as a parent. And like, I'm not even going to really explore that idea. I'm just going to explore the idea of.
I gotta tell the kids to be quiet. I mean,
I don't understand why at 11 o'clock they're running around.
Because for whatever reasons, although we're Christian, their children don't love their neighbors.
Hey, you guys.
They don't get them.
Good night. 11 o'clock at night, you guys are running up and down the stairs like it's a jungle gym. I don't care. Use the bathroom. Good night. Make her red.
Red means you have to be quiet. No talking.
No, do not knock. We're recording.
So you said, I'm not really going to explore this idea.
Yeah, I'm not going to explore that idea of like a parent losing a child, but the issue of like just seeing somebody, I mean, I remember it. I remember talking to this kid and died in a car accident a day later. Mm. And I remember going to the site and pulling up the last call he took and just listening for his voice and like having to deal with the fact that he's dead. But I could still hear his voice over the thing, and it was just like normal. This is very, very strange.
It was normal at that point.
Very strange. Yeah. I listened to the last call that he took. And it was just a strange, that concept was always very difficult for everybody. If you lose somebody suddenly out of nowhere, it's very hard for the mind to adjust. I don't think you ever really adjust to it either.
Yeah, I always, like, whenever somebody close or sudden would pass away, I'd always call their phone and just keep listening to their voicemail.
Mm-hmm. I sit now with his hand in mine, but I know he can't feel. It's tough, man. That's one of the blessings and curses of modern medicine, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, you took a spill like that, that was it, you were done. But now we can kind of keep people in this, like,
limbo.
Almost purgatorial state of...
Yeah, weird, yeah.
Living, non-living type. But then you hear these people, they've been in a coma for 30 years, and then they wake up. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah. And what? I guess if you're sleeping, you probably don't feel 30 years.
Yeah.
You know? Because we go to sleep and boom, we're waking back up again. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange. It's strange.
Can you imagine like waking up and you're 30 years older? Like sometimes just life in general, like I feel like, oh my gosh, like I've wasted time. Like today, like I was thinking about like when I was in my 20s, like I saw this picture of cards on a table. And all the cards that I had when I was 20. And now that I'm in my mid-30s, like, how many fewer cards there are? Because you don't have as many things at your disposal as you do. You don't have as many opportunities as you do when you're 20. You know? So, anyway, just to think, like, you could be 20 and then freaking wake up and you're 50. Like, to lose 30 friggin' years.
Yikes.
But aside from that, I've never had, like... I don't really know how to have like a best friend outside of a relationship. So, like, I think that that's what even bothers me more about this song is I'm like, oh, like this person figured it out. Like they figured out how to be like a friend with somebody and they weren't like in a romantic relationship with a person. So like to have that kind of friendship where you could, you know, we seemed like brothers. We talked for hours last month, you know, like I'm close to his mother and, you know, stuff like that. Like, wow, like. And then he says, it's so important to make best friends in life. Which, you know how like people will say, is it better to love and to lose than never love at all? Like that whole concept. And usually when you're experiencing loss, like, but he's saying even in the moments of that pain, like he's saying it's so important. Like it's such an important thing.
Yeah.
I think that's like, I love seeing like people making friends in the village. You know, and like talking to each other during the day and stuff like that. And like a lot of people, loneliness to me is like one of the saddest things. Like I hate when people are lonely. And there's so many people that say, I'm so lonely. And I listen to you guys for hours and it helps me feel less lonely and stuff. And so I love it that when people can find each other in the village and then they correspond with each other and stuff like that. So I like that because I feel like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the best thing really about the Patreon alliances is it created
those little. I had to turn off the notification on my phone because it was.
I stalk them.
Boom, 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 boom.
Because sometimes, like, jump in. Sometimes they'll like meet each other at the same. They'll like everybody's off shift or something at work at the same time, and it's just bang.
My phone battery was like.
Yeah, I know, and I just keep it plugged in now. Yeah, but. Friendship is designed for these eventualities. You know, like, if you were in a coma and you were completely wrecked and you're on your back, who's going to be there? Your mom and your friend. Like, there it is. You know, and I remember this, there's this line, because sometimes, like, random lines in the Bible will hit me, but there was this one line where it said, that Jesus was choosing the 12 disciples or whatever.
Yeah.
and it said something to the effect of to learn from him and to be with him. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of his life, he says, is Luke 19? I think he said, you are those who stayed with me through all my trials.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Christian theology, there's this big, Jesus is the creator of the universe, da 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 da. But he was also a man. Mm-hmm. And as a man, he needed friends and he needed people to stick by him. And it was important to him that he had people to be with him in the middle of all of his trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And, like, everybody... You know, that's such a simple line. It's so important to make best friends in life. That's like a, duh.
Yeah.
But it's such an important line.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that, you know, going through life, like, my friends got me into some shit.
It was wisdom speaking, too.
What do you mean?
Like, when he said that line, like, I felt like, you know, like in Proverbs, there's like wisdom speaks. She calls to people in the streets, like, she's personified as a person.
Right.
Like, that's how I felt when he said that line. Like, I felt like it was wisdom speaking. Like, I don't know, like a song in the wind or a sound in the wind that just says, you know.
Yeah, my friend, you know, back in the day, they got me into crazy shit and I got them into crazy shit. But it's important to have the person that stands by you. He is hollow as I alone now. That's a good line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got to feel like that, you know.
Well, it's interesting, like, you know, we're having that discussion yesterday with one of my buddies on Fireside, and we were talking about the soul and the body and things like then the brain and consciousness, and if you have a purely naturalistic view, then, you know, your brain is the subtotal of all you are as, like, you know, the metaphysical side of you. But there is a sense in which the brain is kind of working in that situation. But they're still hollow.
Yeah.
And he's saying hollow. I mean, the brain is technically still firing to some degree, but he's hollow because there's something going on with his soul. You know, he says, there's no soul, just flesh and bone.
He sees no love.
Yeah. I shake my fist at the skies above.
Mad at God.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, as I've grown, I've grown to understand being angry at God. Mm-hmm. Although I don't want to say I've grown past that, as if to imply that if you're angry at God, that you're immature. But I've just grown to see that everything that I have, every good relationship I have, is a gift. And you enjoy the gift for as long as it's there, and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I be angry at God for taking away, you know, a gift that he didn't owe me?
You'd be surprised at how often I think about your concepts of that. Because I'm not like that. Like, when I have something, I friggin' choke the fucking life out of it to make sure it stays, you know? Like, I don't want to lose anything. So.
You never lose him.
Yeah.
It's interesting. My evangelical friends are not going to like this, but Muhammad's last words was that Allah is the best companion.
Yeah.
It's the best friend. And Aisha's right there, and Aisha was his favorite wife and just the favorite person that he loved to be around, but he's saying Allah is the best friend. And it's like God loans you these people that belong to him, and then he takes them back.
I think that what bothers me is that, like when I really need you, like, you're there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, heaven forbid, but God could take you in a car accident tomorrow. Well, God, nobody can take God from me, and God won't take himself from me, but yet sometimes he'll be silent with me, or at least I perceive him to be silent. So that's, like, why, you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't do that. Like, if I really needed you, you wouldn't just... You know what I'm saying? So, like, it feels like, well, you're God. Like, why would you do that? Like, why would you be quiet when I need you most? And you hear lots of people say that, like...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm just skeptical about God's silence. As far as, like, is God really silent in those situations? And
like... You said that before.
You can only know your experience.
That's why I don't receive silence. What do you mean?
You can only know your experience. So, like, how do you know that your experience of God's silence isn't somebody else's experience of God screaming at them? Mm. What if you've been spoiled your entire life, and he's been speaking to you in all the other ways, but you perceive that to be silence, but yeah. You don't know any different because it's all you know. Those are the main categories that you know.
Yeah.
You know, to me, like, the fact that you say, I know that he's there, but he doesn't speak to me, is a form of him speaking to you, because there's people that don't even know that he's there.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that say, oh, I don't need God, I don't have God in my life. And they genuinely believe that God's not in their life. Uh-huh. But we know that that's bullshit. He is there.
Right.
But they think that he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get it, you know, the dark night of the soul, all that, like, all that's valid, for sure. But, like, and again, it's just after walking with him my whole life that, you know, I've kind of been like, okay... There are some cycles when he's like, rah, and then there's other cycles where he's like, well, you have a Bible.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know that Footprints in the Sand thing?
Yeah.
Very famous.
Yeah.
I always like that thing, you know, it's very popular. What, do you think it's cheesy?
Well, I had this friend and she was very miserable. I always virtually attract these very miserable women. Shout out to the big... I'm not going to...
Stop mention. That.
Shout out to the nice atheist lady who constantly follows us and berates us every chance she gets. But she had one called Butt Prints in the Sand. And it was like, oh Lord, where are these butt prints? It was like, that's where I dropped your ass because you weren't following my commandments. Some terrible shit like that. Go ahead, I'm sorry. You're about to say something very sensitive.
Yeah.
Significant, so.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, like that, the concept of that, like, you know, the person, like, sees two sets of footprints, and then like they go through very difficult times. And there's only one set of footprints,
right?
And then they're like, "Well, how could you have done that? Like, you left me when I needed you most." And then he's like, "Oh no, like it was then that I carried you." And I think that like, that's like speaking back to the time. And I think that sometimes when you get like. Through a very difficult time where you feel like that God was very silent, that sometimes that's when you realize that he wasn't silent at all, he was actually there. Like, there's times now that I can think of where I was like, in that moment, I thought, he's not even hearing me. Like, I know that he exists, but like, it feels like, you know, the skies are brass and my prayers can't get through, and you know what I mean? Like, that sort of feeling. But then looking back, I can, what are you making that face? Like, this is my experience, babe. I mean...
Don't worry, you'll get a bunch of SJWs in the comments. How dare you!
So that feeling, but then looking back now, like hindsight, I'm like, oh no, he was like there. It was a very difficult time, and so, you know, but yeah. So I don't know, but you're right. Like maybe other people don't have that. Maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, maybe I've been spoiled all my life. And
well, I just think basic Protestantism is, you know, if you want to hear God speak, read your Bible.
No. Yeah. Well, maybe. But I'm saying, like, I came up in a Pentecostal Protestant, well,
you
know.
You grew up
and
around a bunch
of... it wasn't about reading the Bible. Yeah. It was like, let the Holy Spirit speak.
And I really think that that's a lot of your problem.
It could be.
I think that's
a
lot of your problem.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that's a lot of your problem.
I don't know why that annoys me to just say those words. I think you're right. But that does annoy me.
It's because you're a prideful woman who needs to submit to her husband.
Shut the fuck up.
All the SJWs and... No, we believe in chaos here in Surrey
House. Nobody's going to point out the fact that I told you to shut the fuck up.
No, or the fact that earlier when I was starting to talk about my friends, you just completely interrupted me as if I didn't say anything. Yeah, but it won't be. I don't know. But again, this is my experience. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where God, like, I've never heard God speak.
Yeah, you've been spoiled.
Or, like, I've never been in a situation where I'm like, oh, it's, you know... But I understand being angry at God. Like, I get it. I'm just saying, like, I'm at the point where it's kind of like... Now I'm... If you live in a constant state of gratitude for your friends... when you say thank you for my friends to God or so, or thank you for my kids, or thank you for for Sori, or thank you for the village, or I'm sure you've thanked God for the village and the people in the village and all this, and you know, people willing to donate their art and things like that. I'm at the point where maybe it's just a season of my life. I'm just so flooded with gratitude. Like, this guy's donating his art. You know, Tina's doing this. You know, like, there's so many people, who, and you just feel the, and you feel the gratitude for Tina, but then I feel gratitude to God for Tina.
Yes.
So
yeah,
let me start,
I agree with all
you,
that. But I feel like everybody in the village is a gift. Like, I feel like that it's a
gift. Well, yeah, so.
But, like, you are like a gift, but I feel like I owed you. Like, you should, like, I don't want anything to happen to you. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like.
Well, I don't want anything to happen to you, babe. All I'm saying is that if something did happen to you, I don't see how I could resent God. Because I wouldn't look at it like I lost somebody. I would look at it like, man, he gave me somebody to walk with me through the most difficult periods of my life. And that was a loyal friend that stood by me through fucking everything. That, you know, we took bullets together and we sent a couple over too, you know? So it's like, I'm thankful to God for that.
Yeah.
Because I could have done that shit alone.
Yeah.
I could have done that shit without you, and you know, I would have, but it's so much better to have you there, and to, you know, so I just have a lot of gratitude for you every day. You know, I wake up next to you every day. It's like, shit, there you are, you know? So it's like, if you're coming from the world from a standpoint of gratitude, then if you lose those people, you know, it hurts like hell. It's terrible. Mm. But this whole thing, I don't know. I just, and maybe it's because I've lost so many people now. It's kind of like, you know, but I've kind of like, I think what happens is most of us, if you were to pin people down, they would say, yes, I'm grateful for my friends or my kids or my whatever. Mm. But they don't walk around with an attitude of gratefulness to God. Like, God doesn't factor into the equation at all until they lose the person. Then God factors into the equation.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't imagine, like, there's a Pantera song where the singer's saying, thank you so much, God, for making me a badass musician and giving me friends and giving me the gift of music. Thank you so much for letting me be in the presence of Dimebag fucking Daryl, who was, in my opinion, top three guitarist ever. I think I like Pantera more than Metallica. Like,
oh, I know
there's,
I do.
There's a lot of metal songs about being mad at God, not many metal songs about being grateful to God for the shit that you have.
Yeah.
So if you walk around with this constant, like, state of, like, entitlement, that, you know, people go after millennials for entitlement. It's hilarious to me. Everybody has a sense of entitlement.
It's very true.
It's like, you know, like,
when we were driving today, and then, like, you had to switch lanes, and, like, that woman was behind us, and, like, she, like, I don't know, she could have caused an accident. She was like, rah! She, like, went into the opposite lane that you're not supposed to be in to go around you, and it really put her nowhere. Like, she was just one car ahead, like, all of that drama. But, like, I felt like she felt entitled to be at a certain place on the road, and that you should not have.
How dare you?
Yeah, for 5 seconds.
Right. Yeah, like, all of us have a sense.
Oh, I know.
All the criticisms.
I've done that before.
All the criticisms against millennials are ridiculous to me. It's insane. Like, these millennials are so entitled. Really? But, like, we're all millennials when it comes to God.
Yeah.
Everybody walks around with this sense of entitlement that God owes them. All this stuff. It's like, you know. So, I just think that it, and, you know, it's like, people think, like, being gratitude and, you know, having gratitude and being gracious to God, you know, is like, it's like, that's very good for, be a good Christian.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. It has a lot of utility, because if you live from a perspective of gratitude, it constantly reminds you that you're not owed anything. That's why you say please and thank you. Like, I don't say please and thank you when I get paid. When that money comes in every 2 weeks from my other employer, I don't go to my boss and say please and thank you. They owe me that. Mm-hmm. But if a patron goes and does something on Patreon, of course I'm going to say thank you. Mm-hmm. They don't owe me shit. Mm-hmm. They don't owe me a damn thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what? What do you do when somebody pulls out a Patreon? What do you do?
Oh, I thank them for supporting us for as long as they did.
Yeah, and that's not a marketing ploy. That's us really being concerned that people think that once they pull out a Patreon, and you know, you set it in your phone, because sometimes somebody will give like $70 or something like that. So you'll set a reminder in your phone to remind them
to jump back off, so they don't get stuck doing
to jump back off, so that they don't get hit for 2 months. Like, but they don't owe us that shit. Mm-hmm. My employer owes me, but nobody in Patreon owes me anything. Mm-hmm. And so when they give to us, we thank them. And when they take it away from us, we thank them.
Yeah.
And that's only right. Well, that's how I relate to God.
Yeah.
We're on God's Patreon. He gives to us, we say thank you. He takes it away, we say thank you.
Maybe I'm just a spoiled kid then, because...
That's what I'm saying. All of us are millennials. That's the thing.
Because, you know? Like, the Patreon thing, like, I think it's crazy that people...
Right.
Support us on Patreon. It's wild. Like,
right.
Every time another person does it, I'm like, wow, like, that's so... Like, I literally don't think that it would even cross my mind to support somebody if I didn't know. I already know about Patreon now, and I see as a creator how it's very important and very helpful and stuff, but if I didn't know that, like, all these people that come to support us, I don't think that they realize that. You know, I think they just, you know, these are good people, I like what they're doing, you know, I'm going to support them. And, like, I'm like, wow, that's crazy that people are like that, but so with them it's easy, because I'm like, wow.
But God just owes you all this shit.
But yeah, I think that I feel like...
But that's honest, though. That's honest, though. And I think that you see that a lot in the Bible, where people shake their fists at God. Job did it. Habakkuk did it. You know, Peter did it. Jeremiah called God a liar.
Yeah.
Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived.
Maybe that's evidence that we really do actually feel close to God. Like,
well, yeah.
Because, like, I expected candy from my meme. That's like a grandma, French grandma. But I didn't expect, you know, candy from every friggin' old person, you know? But my meme, I expected to give me candy.
Nope.
You know, so maybe it's like that, you know, I'm like that with God. I'm like, well, yeah, but you're my God, you know?
Yeah. If you look at God as your employer, then you could be very pissed off that he took your friend away. Because your friend is payment for some service rendered.
No, I don't think that.
But if you look at God as your patron, then you can't be mad when he takes anything away.
Yeah.
So, which, again, this is not somebody theologizing. I'm not theologizing. I'm talking as a person who's experienced a great deal of loss. So, you know, I know it might sound insensitive, but these are the conclusions that I've come to in the midst of really terrible... And God has said these things to me. But I wish people could hear God's tone when he talks. That's the thing. Like, even when you're wrong, and God shows up and says, "Vin, you're wrong," it's like the most amazing. Like, sometimes I'm like, I just want to do a bunch of wrong stuff so he can come and talk to me. Like, don't do that. That's bad. But he's come to me and he said, I haven't done you any wrong. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're angry with me, but I haven't done you any wrong. And it's just like. But the way I'm not going to try to explain it. It sounds like hooey to most people. But yeah, I mean, I get it. For sure. I understand why. And again, that's my experience with God, though. Because I've been in those situations losing people. It's funny, because I've never really lost anybody on schedule. It's always like, oh!
Some tragic.
Yeah. Like some movie.
Has anybody in your life ever died old?
No. You know, that's why I'm not going to die old. It's just not in the... it's a family tradition, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and he says your name, too. That's another... Like, when God just says your name.
But, again, I'm speaking from my experience. If he doesn't have this experience, then, of course, he's going to shake his fist and all that. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the musicianship? So, first, it was all soft. And then it got heavy out of nowhere.
It surprised me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they getting, for like a split second, I was like, why are they getting heavy? This is bullshit.
Yeah, I didn't
know. And I was
really...
Maybe the anger.
Well, I thought that too, but I just didn't feel like it communicated that well.
Like, I thought it did.
Yeah, I didn't.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it worked perfectly.
Yeah, it seemed a smidge off to me. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Strange.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it worked perfectly.
You know what it was? Certain music communicates certain things, and that, like, it was noise, it was heavy, it was good, but I don't think that it communicated anger, like, mad at God, mad. Like, I don't feel like it communicated that level. I don't think it went angry enough. I think that's what it was. I don't think it was angry enough. I mean, I'm reading myself into the situation.
Well, you're very angry at God.
No, I'm not angry at him now. You think I am angry at God now? Yeah, well, I mean, that's your perception, but... I'm at an interesting place with him. I'm not angry with him, but... I don't know. I was angry at him. I was very angry at God. I don't feel angry at him anymore, but...
I love Dime. I think Dime is probably my second favorite guitarist next to Head. Mm-hmm. And I never heard a Dime riff that I didn't really love. And his riffs, like, say words. Like, he... There's this thing in... It's called phrasing, but it's, like, literally his musicianship speaks. I mean, he's just the greatest. And I think I like Pantera more than I like Metallica.
I know I do. Or at least what we've heard so far.
What do you give the song?
Four Horsemen was crazy. 9.5.
It's a 9.8. I would have liked a more long-form Dime solo. Mm. A long-form Dime solo would have pushed it to a 10, but 9.8. Good song. Very good song. Finn out.
Sorry out.
Gone.